Tonight's Big Brother Sunday Night Recap is sponsored by our friends over at BetUS. Listen up, sports bettors. Football, basketball, and baseball are back, and that means it's time to get down your bets. And I can tell you about the best. That is BetUS.com. Why do you ask? BetUS is the pioneer in online betting with more than 25 years in the biz. You need a sports book with integrity and longevity, and you need to know that you're going to get paid. You need a sports book that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets. Call today at 1-800-69-BETUS. That's 1-800-69-BETUS, and they will walk you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gives you better bonuses than BetUS. Join now, mention Rob's podcast, and you can get up to 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. 25 years in the biz, the best bonuses, BetUS. They should be your sportsbook, BetUS.com. Join today. That's BetUS.com. Join now. Mention Rob as a podcast, and you can get up to 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. That's at BetUS.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a man who officially is going to be celebrating Hanukkah this year. I am Rob Cesternino. I'm out on Christmas. That's it. I've been wanting to make the switch for a long time. This is finally going to be it. All right. Happy to have you back with us here for real. Here tonight on our Sunday night BB22 recap. A lot to talk about here tonight from the episodes, and stay tuned for some updates from the live feeds as well later on in this episode. And we're very lucky to have back here with us on a Sunday night the man who does not miss a thing on the Big Brother live feed updates. Here he is. It's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
They tried to disrupt us, but they couldn't block our repeat. And we're here again, Rob.
We're here again.
We're stronger than ever.
Stronger than ever. Okay. Never left. We never left. At least Taryn never did. He's been going all weekend, of course. The live feed updates, roundtables, all going on nonstop here on Labor Day weekend. All right. So we have with us also here tonight, a man who had Christmas in our RJP draft. Here is Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you?
You know, Rob, I've really been regretting that decision ever since. So thank you so much for reminding me of that once again. But I am excited to be back to talk about Big Brother. Very interesting episode. I don't know if it helped us understand a lot of stuff, but certainly does confuse us a bit. So I'm excited to be able to talk through it.
Lots to talk through here tonight. Okay. And one of our newcomers is here with us tonight. Please welcome in a woman who is a self-described millennial mom. Here is Kelsey Rasmondi. Kelsey, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. And as Christmas would say, to FIFO this whole thing. So...
Kelsey, you have like the Christmas glasses also.
You know, I wanted to soften everybody towards her. No, just kidding. She looked at my Instagram and I influenced her. I like to think so.
Okay. All right. Welcome aboard. And a lot to talk through here tonight. Of course, if you want to get your questions into the show, I tweeted out a link to this episode, and also we can reply with your questions on a busy night here on the Sunday night recap. And of course, you know, Taryn, we get these episodes. I know you are looking for a lot of information, but this is going to be a night where we really need our entire team here to help fill in the gaps.
Yes, there was a lot of information to fill in for this episode, where Tyler's head was at, where Ian was going. We heard a lot about this Bay and Danny fight, where a wall was punched. We were waiting for that. And then, of course, where all of these powers are and exactly what they do. So a lot of things we were looking for. We got about one of them. Yeah. So we've got that much.
So as somebody who does not follow the feeds as closely as many of you, Amon, was this sort of like a shortened version of a true story, or was tonight sort of like a completely fictionalized spin on something that happened?
I just felt like they only focused on certain bits and we didn't get everything. I mean, as far as like the Danny and Bay thing, I think because of the description that we got afterwards, a lot of people were expecting this to be a big blow up. But we've already learned that, you know, people use exaggerative language, mm-hmm. Especially in regards to Bailey. So I actually wasn't surprised that this was exactly what had happened, as opposed to maybe something, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Way bigger.
So there had been talk about a confrontation between Danny and Bailey. Do you think that maybe that was a telephone game where that maybe the confrontation was not actually as described?
Well, there were two confrontations. One happened after the HOH competition. Okay. That's the one mm-hmm. Bailey said that she punched a wall during. And then there was a mm-hmm. second confrontation after the basement competition, which is the one that we saw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just a heads up to people in the chat tonight, we were having some issues with getting our live stream going tonight. So we are only streaming here on our YouTube channel. Of course, if you are looking for the whole podcast, you can find it there or in our podcast feed after the episode. Okay. All right. So let's talk about Christmas Wins the HOH. I went back and I watched this again over the weekend just to see, you know, if it was really just a matter of, you know, Davon got in early. But I also said Christmas did, in fairness to Christmas, she did hit like buzz in a second later and have the right answer. So even if Davon, you know, hadn't buzzed in, Christmas would have won that HOH competition. So I hate to give Christmas the credit, but she did actually have the right answer, even though she won it technically on Davon losing.
So she turns it on when the pressure comes
turns
on.
Turns it on.
She's got it.
Competition Christmas.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it goes right to her head. Kelsey, the Christmas walks around the house. She's the queen.
She's the queen. I mean, how can any of us argue Janelle's that? Gone. There's only been evidence showing that Christmas is actually running everything, right?
Mm-hmm. It feels so good to be the queen. And we end up seeing Nicole. She was twitching, Amon. She saw her game flash before her eyes.
She was stressed, okay? And this is great because this is the type of Nicole that I want to see, because she's always running around the house any other time talking about the most trivial crap that is like setting her off that day. But finally, she has actual reason to be, you know, upset, because maybe there was a chance that she could have been on the block if Davon had won HOH. So I'd love to see people squirm. It's very, very, very boring when we see the same people remain in power and therefore never have to play. So the fact that she was, I mean, I think that she was, and she was kind of dumb in that she just showed her cards by running up to Christmas like it was Christmas morning. Like, so.
Not happy for anybody.
And she couldn't even, like, I love that she couldn't even help but be honest about it. She was like, you know, I was happy for you though, but I was just my game, man.
I was also happy for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Day later confronts Nicole about this as well. She's like, you ran to Christmas like your life was just saved. And she's like, oh, I knew you would think that. No, totally not. Nothing to do with anything. I was just so happy for her. I would have hugged you the same way.
Yeah, okay.
It's just fun. Competitions are just fun, right?
So fun. Taryn, she was stress eating the hell out of that apple also.
Yeah, it's Nicole being nervous, it's a dynamic duo.
Okay, so we're gonna see Cody and Danny have a little bit of a commiserating session about what Kacer said to really upset the balance in the house. And Amon, Danny swears she never said a bad word about him, but then here he is. And she had to say, it was so great she had to say it twice about this was Kacer's biggest move in three seasons to talk bad about them.
Okay. Here, right here, is the reason that Janelle remains the queen of Big Brother. The level of unbotheredness that Janelle always exudes is intoxicating. The fact that Danny, I think if there was really nothing to the love triangle comment, why are you so bothered? Why are you so pressed? So I'm like, I feel like you're not handling this the correct way if you're worried about viewership and like how people are going to think, you know what I mean? I feel like maybe you probably shouldn't give so much credence to it, mm-hmm. but I mean, but we've seen Danny be reactive before. So yes, that's just how she took it.
Taryn, I saw you took exception to this on Twitter as well.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, for Danny to say that this is the biggest move Kacer has made in his three seasons, just like, hold on. Whose fate was sealed in Big Brother 6? I heard some fates being sealed. I didn't hear any fates being sealed here. I heard about love triangles. I heard about secret alliances. I heard no fates being sealed. How is this Kacer's biggest move, Danny?
Yeah.
I don't think so, Danny. Kacer has made a bigger move than you have ever made. And you know what your biggest move was? Lawan. You co-signed that. I'm attributing that to you now, Danny. Congrats.
Well.
I mean, Kacer making the deal with Jen in the pressure cooker, still a bigger move than calling out Cody and Nicole. It was a good move. Still a bigger move. Yeah. Okay. All right. Come on. Leave Kacer alone, Danny. All right. But Kelsey, Nicole Franzel comes in and then they're like, whoa, love triangle. And they're trying to play it off. And I thought it was such a great Nicole Franzel moment that they asked her, Nicole, what's wrong? And she said, everything.
But really, I feel like nothing's actually wrong for Nicole. She just wants everything to be wrong and to act like everything's wrong. Mm-hmm. They just want to be upset with Kacer so badly, and they just have each other to bounce that off of.
Okay. Let's start to break down everything that happened here with the Slick Six, because we saw that Davon came so close to winning this HOH competition, but we get a reset of Tyler had the conversation with Davon and Bailey and said that Danny is coming for you. And then we also got a reset of the Slick Six all coming for each other. And then ultimately, we have this very messy situation. Tara, could you just reset in terms of what actually happened? Like, what was known and the information that was passed back and forth between Tyler, Davon, Bailey, and Danny? Like, who knew what?
So Danny and Nicole, as the episode showed, have been after Bailey and Davon for weeks now, getting in Christmas's head, talking about wanting them out. Tyler has a good relationship with them, has started to get closer and closer to them, and decided that he wanted Danny out and let them know that, hey, Danny is sketchy and she's coming after you. This is the truth, that she is gunning for you. So they found that out. They decided that they were on board to take a shot at Danny. That's what led to the HOH competition, where they are trying to get Danny out and Danny's trying to get them out. Danny found out that they were coming after her because of Ian. So Ian was, if you remember from the previous episode, off on his whole big octopus theory, and he spilled everything to Kacer, and he told Kacer about everything, and he said that he talked to Bailey, and Bailey was on board, and Bailey talked to Kacer, and Kacer saw that Bailey was on board. Bailey talked to Christmas, and Christmas told Danny that Bailey wants you gone, wants Cody gone because of this octopus thing. So Ian got caught, and everybody knew that Ian spilled the beans, and now everybody knows that Bay and Day know that Danny's after them, and they knew that Danny was, that they were after, you know, all of the stuff.
Yeah.
I know everybody knew.
There's a lot of chicken and egg to this, but it started with that Danny wanted to go after them for no apparent reason, correct?
For a couple of tries.
Yes.
And a couple of guys.
Okay. Well, it was a couple of tries, I feel like, to try to go after Davon and Bailey, including trying to frame them with Hinky votes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I should say, especially for Danny, what it really, really comes down to is like 3 weeks ago, Devon said to Danny that Tyler approached her about an alliance when in reality she approached him about an alliance.
Right.
Then said that Nicole also approached her when she had also approached Nicole. So she lied to Danny about this, was testing Danny with some information. Danny believed her at first and then found out she was lying. And ever since then, she has been very stingently anti-Devon. And then when the couple tries couple guys thing things happened, she became anti-Bay as well, and then really started hitting home on the anti-Bay stuff even more so than the Devon stuff.
Yeah, because this ultimately is going to get spun tonight as Danny is like, hey, they started targeting me for no reason, and that's why I want them out, because they started targeting me for no reason. Aman, I thought this was such a great Devon episode also. She has that conversation with Cody. She gets an F you to us on the cameras. Devon was not playing around in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fantastic episode for Devon. Devon is always able to pick up on things. So it always seems to be a little bit too late, though. So it's always like hard for me to like fully be happy and celebrate whenever she's able to know, yeah, I'm catching you in a lie right now, Cody. Like, I know what's going on, because we know what's going to eventually happen later on in the week. So it's just like, I want to be happy right now, but like, I wish that this conversation would have I wish that this would have been like taken place sooner. Like, this HOH competition did exactly what it should have done, but she didn't win it. So it's just like, oh man, like, it was just very frustrating.
I love that she's always willing to let us in on what she's thinking. Like, whenever he leaves it, she'll tell the camera that she knows that he knows what he was doing, but that to him, she's playing it cool. I like that she lets us in on that.
Yeah. We're going to see Danny talk to Christmas, and she is talking about how, okay, that Devon got really far. What are you thinking in terms of nominations? And so they're talking about Christmas has only a few options, Taryn. Ultimately, it's looking like that Bailey and Devon are going to be close to her list.
Yes. And there is at least a little bit of reason behind this. Christmas is in good with almost everybody in the house, including Bay and Day. But when you are in that spot, you have to choose which people that I'm already good with, am I going to cut ties with? And I think in Christmas's mind, especially because Nicole and Danny have been in her ear for so long, Bay and Day seem like a pretty consensus house target. So if she makes that betrayal happen, then the rest of the house will back her up because of it. And so so here we are.
Yeah, and we hear
I mean, she's always about the team, right? Like, it's always in committee. Like, so if she's able to do a solid for her alliance, then this is like the perfect move, even though there are other people that aren't in the committee, but you know, like Taryn said, they've been all day to her. So
yeah, we hear about this conversation, Amon, of that that Bailey apparently said to Christmas that Devon was her untouchable. And that is, there's no coming back from that now for Christmas.
I was kind of annoyed with Bailey. I mean, to be honest, everybody already knows about it. So it's not that big of a big deal for Bailey on Bailey's part. But I was kind of annoyed when she asked Christmas, okay, so do you have any untouchables? Christmas says, you should go first. And then she just does it. I'm like, no, like, make Christmas expose herself. And I don't know why everybody is acting as if this was like, I don't know why Christmas is acting as if this is like the worst possible move that you could make in Big Brother, when there are plenty of other pairs in the house that are known pairs. It's just, it's insane to me. But you know, anything to justify putting them on the block. That's, she's just looking for anything.
Yeah. And it's sort of like, okay, this is what I want to do. And then let me just come up with reasons after the fact to do what I already wanted to do. Like, oh, well, you have an untouchable. So that's it. That's really, there's no coming back from that. You know, you told me that was going to be your unbreakable bond. So we can't have that in this house.
And it's like, it's so weird to me because because Christmas, Devon, and Bailey were in a room together for at least, what, like 2 weeks. And it seemed to me like there was like some real connecting happening, at least between Bailey and Christmas over the past couple of weeks. So I'm shocked at the level of work that Danny and Nicole were able to do to get her on the block, because given the behavior of what I've seen before, she really has no business putting her up there.
Mm-hmm. Can I also just say, I hate this term, untouchable. Like every time I hear it, I think uncrustable. Like I'm just like this is not what it, what happened to Ride or Die? What happened to number one?
What's why an uncrustable?
You know, like the little
you've never had an uncrustable.
What is it, like a popcorn?
No,
it's a sandwich with no crust.
And it's like squished at the around the edge.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, right, Rob,
my HOH
walk
basket.
On the freezer section of your local grocery store.
Poor Rob on an island has no Uncrustables. Luckily, you won't be targeted.
Yes. Okay.
They got to mix it up, though. They got to throw something new in there. They have octopus now. They have Untouchables. They're mixing it up with the verbiage.
Yeah. Okay.
Somebody they're like, we're going to make this an interesting season. We're going to change a word.
Somebody said in the chat that it's used in the challenge. So maybe Bailey brought it over into Big Brother.
Hmm.
There you go.
We don't need challenge language.
I mean, it's that CBS Viacom merger. Like two are becoming one, baby.
Mm-hmm. Next thing we know, if people are going to be like, "Oh, I don't want to do too much politicking."
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Or somebody tries to backdoor somebody on the challenge.
One of these days, Kelsey, we saw that Davon has a good conversation with Christmas. I thought she basically says, "Hey, whatever you want to do, I'm on board. Let's get him." Christmas is saying, "This is too late. You didn't talk to me fast enough.
You need to talk to me when I'm not in power, Davon."
Mm-hmm.
But no, I feel like Davon said what she was supposed to say. I feel like she. I mean, I was listening to her and I was like, I want to work with you, Davon. Work with me. I'll do it. But yeah, Christmas wasn't buying it. She was like, I wish you came to me earlier. But honestly, if Davon came to her earlier, I don't think anything would be different. She just, that's just a reason she can say like, oh, you're just too late. I can't do it.
Mm. Yeah. I feel like, and I could be wrong because I don't, my brain doesn't download the feeds at the rate and speed that Terrence does.
I
could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure that they've had a similar conversation. Both Day and Christmas have talked about being moms and like how they want to see each other succeed. Like, I feel like that was like a recall when Bailey was, or when Davon was having that conversation with her again. So. Yeah.
Well, so Christmas has, and she talked about this to the cameras a little bit. Basically, like she made her final two on day two with Tyler, and she made her final six for Six Personal Lions in the first week, and then she acquired some friendlies pretty soon after that with like the safety competition and stuff like that. But she always felt like after she won her safety competition that now all of a sudden people are trying to recruit her now that they see her value and her ability to win competitions, then now people are coming to her and wanting to work with her. And one of those people was Davon. Bailey had already been in. She's had a good relationship with Bailey for a long time. It took Nicole a while to actually flip because Christmas was anti Davon until Nicole really got in there and said, hey, no, Bailey's the problem. Cause she said a couple tries and a couple guys. And Christmas was like, no, Davon, I'm good with Bailey. Davon's the problem. And then after a few days, Christmas was like, you know what? Bailey's the problem. That's the thing. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Let me throw a question out here. What is the right level of game talk to be having with people you are not in an alliance with? Where that we saw Christmas this week, Enzo last week, upset with people who've never talked game with them. Should you be trying to have game talk with every single person in the house just in case they win HOH?
Yeah,
I think so. I think you should at least be trying to, I think that you should be talking to everybody in the house. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like what Bailey was doing in the first couple of weeks, and like everybody was like, oh, I love Bailey. She's so kind. She's so sweet. She's so personable. Obviously she's still on the block, so that didn't work out entirely, but like I feel like in terms of like specific game talk, you should at least be having some sort of like check-ins with people just to make sure that you're good with them. And hopefully that works out in your favor.
Could that sketch people out though? You have game talk with every single person
if you're not careful about it and you're messy and you get caught.
I think it's about it's like how you do it and like when you do it, because like if you do it on Wednesday night, it's like, okay, what's going on? But if you're, you know, sprinkling it, you have like a little set schedule in your mind, you talk in the morning
like with the confetti.
Throwing it around.
We like set up little dates. I wish that people would like set up like little, we used to get dates on the show all the time. Obviously these people, you know, they're married off and stuff like that. But like, you know, just little, you know, game talk dates. Just check in, stuff like that.
This has been pointed out that this is something that Ian does. Ian will go to people right before the HOH competition, like he did with Tyler on Thursday. And he'll go to people right after the HOH competition with information about like, oh, this person said this. And everyone's like, Ian, like...
He makes the rounds.
It's like he's like playing for like a double eviction. It's like you should have been doing that stuff. That's so weird.
Okay. Kelsey, we have one more conversation before we start to get into the competition. It's between Christmas and Enzo. And he says that Christmas is like his pit bull. She wants to know, what does Enzo want to think? He says target the emotional players in the game, which are Davon, Nicole F., and Bailey are the emotional players to go after in this game.
Notice that's a lot of ladies' names, Enzo.
Mm-hmm.
What's your plan here, sir? But Christmas seems receptive to him, though. She's saying that she has a great relationship with him. They're on the same page. She really likes Enzo. So I think as far as Christmas is concerned...
She put you on the block!
She put herself on the block.
Yeah, but he did it.
Yeah, and you notice he would not do that for her.
He put me on the block last week.
I liked that from Enzo at the beginning. He was like, okay, so Christmas is up for me, but like, I'm not going to do that for Christmas. I don't know what she's planning, but I'm not going to be on the block this week.
Okay. All right. We get to our competition in the BB basement. And this is fun because there was a lot of intrigue over the weekend. Of course, there were a couple of powers that had been known on the live feeds. People knew that Danny had the all-time lame replay power of that a HOH can play in next week's HOH competition. Okay. We also knew about this other power that Christmas had, but Taryn, I understand that there was a little bit different of an explanation from what she had said on the feeds.
Yeah, she said that she was only able to use it on herself. She could only save herself unless she already had the veto. Now, in practical use, you probably wouldn't want to save somebody else if you are also vulnerable. But I believe she was able to do it anonymously. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure she's just saying, hey, I'm only able to save myself unless I'm already safe, so that Tyler doesn't expect her to use it on him if she feels like she might be in trouble as well, or that she might want to save it for a later date.
Okay. And then how about this? The disruptor power was found by the all-time disruptor of disruptors. Here he is, David Alexander. What? He went back into that dark room, the photographer, and this time something developed for him. He ends up with a power. He comes full circle. What a great Big Brother story for David.
I was shocked.
Yes. The level of watermelon seltzer that went up my nose as I saw that happen is like, I'm still in pain over it. But you know what? I'm gonna give him his props. Good for David. He's been wanting something like this. He finally got it. Like, I'll let him have his moment. I like all the flack that we give this guy. Mm-hmm. Good for him. Good for him.
Yeah, this is basically a limited use god idol, like hidden immunity idol that is Tyler Perry powered, where he apparently gets to just complete, like, stand up and say to Cody in week one of Big Brother 19, sorry, bro, I'm safe. Or whoever he wants. So this is, you know, very, very powerful. It's way more powerful.
It's than the block.
I was kind of shocked by that. Immensely more powerful than the replay.
First off, I was going to cry for Bailey when she had the lightning bolt and then tried to fit it in. And then she's like, oh, I guess this is not. I'm like, oh, wait, no, Bailey, put that back. That's you have the right thing. Very mean to just have the same exact puzzle piece, but have it like one size too big to fit into the hull. That's not that was mean. Ultimately, though, that David ends up having it. And Kelsey, I think that David is just that after everything that's happened to him, I do think he's so gun shy. I think he's afraid to tell anybody.
I think he is. And I think he also wants it in his back pocket. He can kind of see how things are playing out right now. And I think it's, I don't know. I would love to see somebody else get it. I don't know what we're supposed to say before the end of the show, but mm-hmm. I do. I think that he wants to save it for the future for himself.
Yeah.
And I understand not wanting to say it out loud.
Taryn, I know this is unclear right now, but do we have any idea how and when this would be played during the week?
It's very difficult to determine. They said something along the lines of like following the nomination ceremony. So in his diary room session after the ceremony happened, right at the end of the episode, he implied that he still has the ability to change the nominations. He still might. And so that to me indicates that perhaps there is a window of time after the ceremony where he is able to say, hey, I want to change what just happened. And then they recall, they do another ceremony to replace one of the nominations.
Okay.
And that's how he does it anonymously.
But what if the HOH says, all right, I want to put David on the block?
Then I think that it would go through fine. And then afterward, he would say, I would like to take myself off the block. And then if he wants to, he can be like, I don't know what just happened. I didn't do this. So I think that's how it's going to work. It doesn't make any sense for them to wait longer than that because the veto competition has to play out in a certain way where the veto players are drawn in a certain way and all of that. So I assume that it's just going to be a window after the ceremony happens where he has the ability to go in there. They call him into the diary room and they're like, hey, do you want to use it? And he says, no, I'm good. But that's just a guess at this point.
Yeah, it is like a really small window, isn't it? Because it's like you get the nominations. They always have the nominations like late on Friday, at least late over here. And then the veto comp is the next day. So you would have to get it in there.
They would call him into the diary room sometime after the ceremony.
But that when he's doing that diary room is when they would have to ask him. So he can't say, maybe I'll change the nominations. Like, no, this is your chance to change the nominations. I wonder if he could do it at any time or on eviction night.
After veto?
He might be saying that, like, maybe I'll change them right now. And they might also ask him to say it for the episode. But you're right. I mean, for all we know, he, you know, has the ability to change them on eviction night. Like, who knows?
Okay. It's erroneous. It's unclear.
Yes.
I was just going to say, and a lot of people are like, oh my God, like the worst player got the best power. This is going to get squandered. He's not going to know how to use it. But honestly, when Tyler came in there and asked him if he got something and David lied to him, I said, okay, because you're not even going to tell him, then I'm a little bit more inclined to believe that he might be thinking deep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of reason for David to tell anyone because nobody is trusting him with information right now. So nobody expects information from him right now. So he can wait until he decides he wants to use it, like maybe a couple of weeks from now when it's about to expire, to then say, hey, I've got this. I haven't told anybody, but you're the person that I'm choosing to tell, and I'm willing to use it to help you this week because it's going to expire.
And I just love that someone outside of these core alliances is having some sort of power.
That's, somebody has something. That's
nice.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, it's a chance of something that could happen to disrupt it. Okay. That's why it's a disruptor. He's could disrupt the power structure. David Lightning. Boom. Just a quick break in the action to take a moment to thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at ZipRecruiter. Look, hiring can be a challenge. It is very hard to find the right people, and you can ask the Big Brother producers just how hard that is. Zing! That's right. But right now, especially during this time, it can be especially challenging to find people for your company. Monica Starks could relate. She needed to hire for a pivotal role at her construction company, GS Group, but she was having a hard time finding the right person, especially with so many candidates out there. So she switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the candidates finding you. It finds them for you. They have technology that identifies people with the right experience for your job and actually invites them to apply, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's how Monica found Lamont Jenkins. She said that ZipRecruiter sent Lamont's profile to her around 5 minutes after she posted the job because he was a great match for the role. And through ZipRecruiter, Monica's company has hired everyone from accountants to project managers to field scientists. But Monica's not the only employer who loves ZipRecruiter. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get quality candidates within the first day. See for yourself how ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. Try it now for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's SURVIVE, ZipRecruiter.com/survive. Let's get back to the recap of Sunday's Big Brother. Let's talk about now following the challenge. And full admission here, my power went out. I was in the dark, like David, here for a couple of moments. I had my pants on, unlike Nicole Franzel. And so we did have, it is 120 degrees here where I live. And so we did have a rolling blackout for a couple of minutes. So then when they got the powers, my lights were out here. And in case anything happens to me during this episode, that's what happened to me. That being said, we got to see their powers. I heard lots of close-ups of everybody's hands for some reason.
Yeah. What was that? Especially like, I especially noticed it with Danny that they lingered on the hands. I wish I had counted the seconds, but it had to be like 10 seconds of just static hands. Just like leaning forward, like with, like, what is going on? Like, dirty am I hands. Watching it? Like, because it was like her feet were in the shot. I was like, did Tarantino come in to direct an episode? Like, what is happening here? I don't understand what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I think we're just trying to like get probably a transition from like shots of themselves, like to really like cut up their like Frankenbite their confessionals, especially when Danny's complaining about how lame her power is. I think that probably they might need just to have cutaways to clean that up.
I that's what I thought.
Yeah.
She was so pissed about this power. Like she could not muster up any level of enthusiasm for this.
Okay. All right.
I love you too.
All right. Let's talk about Danny and Bailey. And they have this conversation that we see. Bailey talks about how it was Tyler that ratted her out and says that, hey, I heard you were saying our names and then you put us up in the competition. And Danny says, like, no way, impossible. That's not true. Not even a little bit. She was never targeting Devon and Bailey.
Well, I thought it was interesting how she started this conversation saying, I'm about to do some damage control. And then she walks in and says, hey, you've been weird to me. And it's just like, how is this the way to start a damage control conversation?
Mm-hmm. That struck me as one of those like after the fact diary rooms where like Danny has already told herself a story of how this conversation mm-hmm. went and how it started. And it does not match reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd say.
Yeah. Enzo eventually is going to come in and Bailey is going to, involve Enzo in the conversation. And Danny pleads to Enzo, tell her that I wasn't targeting her. And Enzo says, I didn't know, yo. I don't know. I don't know anything about this.
Well, it's Bailey is like, were there not rumors that she was coming after me? It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there were rumors.
There were rumblings, yeah.
There were rumblings. But yeah, hey, yo, I don't need anything to do with this, yo. That's it. That's, I got nothing to do with it.
I'm not involved.
Leave me out of this. Hey, mm-hmm. hey.
It's like you need to give Enzo like a quarter to like get him to like want to engage with you. And then once you're out of money, it's like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm done. That was my one. I gave you all one right. little thing. That's it.
What else do you remember? Let me see. Do I have a five? Yeah. So Danny said something that I feel like that was telling Taryn. She says to Bailey, I'm telling you my truth. Not the truth. My truth feel like is very different than the truth.
Oh, this is a very popular phrase in the Big Brother 22 house. That this is something that Nicole Anthony liked to say a lot. That like it was her truth that that Janelle and Kacer betrayed her. So this is really it's basically a way. It's a way for somebody to say this is not the truth, but I want it to be the truth, and it might have even been proven wrong at this point, but. It is my truth, and so you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Well, everything was behind the scenes, right? Like, everything was through other people, the reason why they were having problems, right? Like, that there were issues, and the first, like, tangible jab that was made was by Dani, right? Like, how does she have any leg to stand on against Bailey if she's the one that put them up in the competition? She was the first person that did something in front of each other, right? I don't understand how she thinks that it's Bailey.
But it's her truth.
It's her truth.
Her truth could be anything.
It's so true.
Yeah. Okay. And then afterwards, Dani is unhappy with Enzo. Like, why didn't you have my back in there? And we know how badly Enzo wanted to go after Dani last week when it was his HOH.
Yo, it's got nothing to do with me, yo. That's it. Hey, leave me out of this stuff. I always say, stick to the alliance, yo. That's all. That's all you need to do. This, leave me out of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, yo.
Yeah. Okay. We see Christmas and Dani, and now Dani is going to start to run with this about how, you know, it's, she has been, that there has been an act of aggression committed on Dani. She's the victim.
Yeah, it's she's being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
It's nuts. It's nuts. I just don't understand how you can come at it from this perspective. You're the person that put them up just then in the HOH. Like, how do you not recognize that you did that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, the same person who conspired to cast Hinky votes.
Yes.
To set them up, Davon and Bailey. And then it's be like, hey, you guys are coming after me for no reason. Look, I'm minding my own business here.
Yes.
Dani's sick of this crap.
I mean, like, to be fair to Dani in this spot, like, of course she's going to say this, right? Like, this is what she should be saying. She's just deny, deny, deny at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the backstory part of this comes in with Tyler. Bailey comes to talk to Tyler, and Tyler is upset about, hey, why are you, I told you this stuff in confidence. Why are you talking about it to Dani? And she wants to know, I want to know that you have my back. You're more loyal to me than you are to her. And Tyler says that, you know, he is. Why are you questioning that? But he doesn't like the way that she's handled that. And he doesn't like the way she's handled it, and she really doesn't like the way that he is acting about this whole situation. The truce between Tyler and Bailey is disintegrating before our eyes.
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of telling that in that conversation, he, you know, didn't try to empathize with her about how Dani came at her and like started that whole conversation, that he was like, why did you react that way? And it's like, no, like, be like, I'm so sorry that she came up to you like that. Like, if you're really on Bailey's side, like, empathize with her and try to understand where she's at, like, that Dani came to her trying to have this conversation. I feel like that alone was kind of telling, even though I'm sure Tyler, you know, was wanting to cover up himself, but
Yeah, I think from Tyler's perspective, he just walked in here and he's hearing that Bailey is basically ratting him out. And again, we didn't see the previous confrontation between Dani and Bailey, but he's definitely panicking in this moment. Like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And this is not how to handle Bailey when she's feeling upset. And this is, especially with their history, you could, obviously not going to turn out well.
Yeah. You could see Tyler in like previous situations in like Big Brother 20 where, okay, all right, just just calm down. We got this, to, you know, different people that he's been aligned with, that's how he would handle the situation. Okay, let's just keep these secrets. Let's just keep this between ourselves. All right, let's figure out the way to handle this. But you get the sense that Bailey is really looking for Tyler to, you know, jump to her side and be now against Danny and working to get Danny out of the house, as opposed to like, okay, let's come back to this in a little bit. Let's just, you know, let's calm down and then see where this goes.
Yes. That's where they're at. Like, basically, with Danny having this information about like three people confirmed and Enzo being like, yeah, there were rumors. We're going to see that Danny is, with just that amount of information. I think, again, Tyler knows this. She's going to be able to start to put these pieces together. So Tyler's talking to Day and Bay, and he's just like, I think you just screwed me. And again, like, he's thinking game. Bailey is thinking, why aren't you supporting me here? What's going on? It's not great.
Yeah. Do we know that, is this sort of the line that gets crossed here, where then Tyler sort of gives up trying to save Devon and Bailey for heading into the nominations?
It's so hard to know, because they kind of skipped over the first confrontation, which happened before Tyler talked to Christmas the first time, which we didn't see on the episodes. So Tyler had a conversation with Christmas where she told him that she wanted to put up Day and Bay. And he did bring up the possibility of backdooring Danny or going after Danny, but he did not put up much of a resistance at all. And was kind of like, hey, if that's the move you want to make, then I'm down. Like, let's take out Bailey. Now, it's been so hard to judge his motives because he's been off the feeds for so long. We missed so much of what happened after the HOH competition. That may have been a reaction to the initial confrontation that we didn't see on the episodes. That may have been Tyler feeling like he has tried before to get Bailey to stop, to get Christmas to stop targeting Bailey, and failed, that she's persevered through that. So he may have felt like he wouldn't be able to stop her from doing it, and that he didn't want to push too hard. Or he may have seen the confrontation between Bailey and Danny and felt like, okay, she's going to blow me up. Like, I can't trust her to hold my secrets. Like, it's so hard to know. And that's one of the major things I was looking for in this episode, in terms of what was Tyler thinking and where did this come from? In terms of what we did see, it made it seem as though Tyler was saying, I wanted to work with Bailey and Devon, but with all of this stuff happening, I feel like it's just not in the cards, which would kind of align with, if we just push that back a little bit and we assume that the first confrontation had a similar kind of effect, that may be the case, but it's so hard to tell at this point.
Yeah. The whole thing is just really upsetting, and we really see it from Bailey's perspective in this episode of this whole situation where in this house, here's Bailey, who for all intents and purposes is minding her own business, and now this narrative is being crafted around how she's coming for Danny, and then also on top of that, you know, she is being aggressive towards Danny, and the whole thing is, you know, just a very frustrating story to see play out here in Big Brother 22, where this was supposed to be the season where we weren't going to have this. On the heels of Big Brother 21. And you have this story where, you know, if it came down to like gameplay, Devon and Bailey, and they're targeting, they have Christmas in their sights, and that's what's going on. Okay, that's one thing, but it does really feel like that people are coming up with any reason in this house to get Devon and Bailey, who have no power in the game, are really sort of like alone on an island in this game. People are really going to great lengths to, you know, split up Devon and Bailey. And it's obviously, you know, a series of events that has a lot of the fan base very frustrated right now.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think part of it too is that when you have somebody that's been manipulated into doing something, like I think Christmas has been with Nicole, I think you often find that that person has a lot of trouble explaining mm-hmm. why they're doing what they're doing, because it didn't come from them in the first place.
Yeah. And then, Amon, if you would just pop out of the chat and then come back in, sometimes that will end up fixing that issue, because I definitely want to hear what you have to say. So ultimately, we get to the nomination ceremony, and we have it's Bailey, and then it's Devon, and Christmas gives us the reason, Kelsey, that well, you said, Bailey, you told me that Devon was untouchable, so that's that.
It's just, it's frustrating that that's what she's just holding on to, because there's been very clear other pairs in the house. And just to hang on to this, y'all are a pair, you're untouchable. I loved how Devon answered though, and how she was just like, wait, so I'm up because she said that I'm her untouchable. And Christmas is like, mm-hmm. And it's just like, I'm sorry, can you come up with a better reason?
That's dumb. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And Christmas, then Taryn goes into, she's crying. There were no other options for her.
Yes. She was feeling very upset about this. And that's always the most annoying thing. Like, because, like, I get it. It sucks to, you know, you're playing a game, you're hurting people's feelings, you're ruining their dreams. Great. But they're the ones that are, their dreams are being ruined. You're just feeling a bit guilty. It is not, you are not the victim in this situation.
No.
And it's one thing to cry to herself and in the diary room. The problem is that she ends up crying to the people that she put up.
Mm-hmm. It's nuts. You're the one that's in charge. You can't go and cry about how hard your life is because you have to send someone home. Like, no, that's so bad. I hate when people do that.
Yeah, look, the big bad comp beast has feelings too, Kelsey, okay?
Oh, come on. At least not to the people that you nominated, please. Mm-hmm. Please.
Yeah.
Okay. Do not do that. So right. Bad.
So Devon tells us about how there's still a veto to be won. David may end up using his power. And that's where we let things stand for Sunday night's episode.
Rob, I think that we found out that David has, in fact, used his power on Amon's internet. I think.
Oh, he disrupted it.
Happened.
He disrupted it.
I thought
it.
You were serious at first. I was like, oh, no, what did I miss?
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's take a couple of questions here tonight. Okay. Scott has put up. Okay. This is an untrustable. What's that filled with, Taryn? That's like a Hot Pocket.
It's filled with peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. It's like they took a peanut butter jelly sandwich and like my mom used to make me these. Pampered Chef had a little thing that you would cut them out and it would just like close the edge.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
delicious.
We just got to the bottom of the Uncrustable. Let's take a couple more questions. Adam says, was someone able to win more than one power?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Once you're in, you're in. Okay.
Yeah. One they want power. Maximum chaos. So
maximum chaos. All right. Paul Wright says, what are the odds that a house meeting to clear the air happened this week? If Bailey assumes she's going, could she say screw it and blow things up further where Danny and Tyler are concerned? Or will she play it safe for Devon's sake? I guess we'll find out. Let's leave that for later on in the week as we head to the spoiler section.
That's really the dilemma that they face, though. Like, when you're in this spot, you now have the choice. You have a lot of information. Do you blow it all up and hope that that changes things? Or do you rely on the people that you are keeping safe with your secrets to help save you this week? Mm-hmm. That's the dilemma that they face here.
Okay. Person woman Dan Giesling TV says, doesn't Christmas seem a little too high on herself for winning these comps? I mean, Kelsey, look, she's on a real roll Christmas.
She's on such a roll. I'm going to just give the short answer of yes. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, at least in this competition, what was it? The basement competition. At least nobody gave that to her.
Right.
At least it was, yes, she was proactive in winning it. So we can give that one to her. But all the rest were handed to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. This is from Share Bear Wood. Do you think Nicole was really the HOH this week? I find it hard to believe that Christmas made this decision on her own. Taryn, who was the voice that was loudest in Christmas's ear?
There wasn't really a voice this week. Like I said, it was more that Nicole had put in the work in previous weeks to get Christmas to this point. And Tyler has tried to counteract it in the past and failed. So Nicole beat him to the punch here in terms of Christmas's targets.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Share Bear Wood. Jacob Kramer. No, we got that one. Okay. You got the next one? Okay. Okay. All right, Jacob Kramer, what are the odds that David uses the power on someone else that is on the block one of the next 2 weeks and ends up getting nominated in their place? So I don't think that that's possible based on what we had to say, right?
I think it is possible. He said he is allowed to use it on himself, which would mean that if it automatically makes him safe, then he would not use it on himself. He would only use it on somebody else and be safe.
But this question is asking if David uses the power on someone else that's on the block, and then he ends up getting nominated in their place.
Yes. So if he saves somebody else, he is still eligible for nomination.
Oh, okay. That's what I was asking earlier. That you know, could he use it and then ultimately then him end up on the block?
Yes, that's
so,
what that's
so
what could
is the move where we talked about this in Big Brother 20, where potentially that does he have to say like, hey, you could put me on the block this week.
Well,
just give me a chance to play in the veto.
I think that if the HOH has no intention of nominating him, I believe he will be able to use this anonymously, mm-hmm. Save somebody else. They don't know it's him. And then he'd be eligible for nomination, but he might not be chosen because they don't know it's him. Okay. Or he can just choose to save himself if he gets nominated. But it is possible for him to say, like, let's say, you know, Tyler gets nominated next week and he's like, nope, you can't do Tyler. I'm saving Tyler. Then the HOH will have to nominate a replacement. David, I believe, would be eligible. Otherwise, there's no point in him ever using it on himself.
Okay. All right. We have Amon back with us. Amon, can we hear you?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Do I sound good?
Yes.
Do I sound okay?
All right, Amon, I didn't realize that you were having technical issues. I was like, boy, Amon is really... being very quiet right now.
It was so sudden too. I felt like I started off so strong. I'm so sorry, guys. This is like sort of like a drag on the show.
No.
But yeah.
Take it away. Go for it. You're good.
I was just gonna say, like, once again, we see the same thing happen with Bailey, and Avon. The whole aggressive comments, you know, you play this way, you play that way. It is, okay. I talked a little bit about this yesterday on Twitter. There was no fooling anybody when it came to Bailey and Davon. No fooling. They knew that they were going to work together. They knew that they were going to come in together as a duo, as a pair, and people were going to talk to them for that. No way out. So I think for Bailey to have this conversation with Danny and try to remain as calm as possible, I felt like I saw her calculating how she wants to talk, because she knows that the retelling of this might not go the way she wanted to. Everybody always expects her to blow up anyway, so she has to really, really be measured in her response to Danny. And I think that it's just frustrating. That's what's frustrating for fans, is because we see this season after season after season. It's like the margin of error for Bailey or for Davon is just always just it's smaller, and it's, I don't know, it's just very, very frustrating, because I you want to see them succeed, and in this you don't want everybody to have like this notion of, okay, we cannot go after Bailey and Davon, we can't do it because they're untouchable, right? We can't do that. I don't want people to have that kind of mentality happy. But I think that people just need to remember like the things that are working against them every time they're in the house. And it's just a lot.
Yeah. To me, I felt like that I was reminded of, in Survivor this past season where, okay, people had good relationships with Jeremy, good relationships with Wendell, and then you got to the merge and all of a sudden it was like, oh, wait, oh, Jeremy and Wendell are friends? Uh-oh, okay, well, this is, you got to break that up because those guys, they're such good friends that they won't vote against each other. So, all right, one somebody has to go. So, okay, so Wendell ends up getting voted out. And you know that they didn't really play that as part of the show, but that I believe that that is something that I've heard Wendell talk about this, and I assume that Jeremy is upset about this. Like, why was that so threatening for Jeremy and Wendell to be so friendly at the merge?
Yeah, and there's like there's just no way to hide it because it's so visible. I mean, you have two black women in the house, like and I understand that people they have like the implicit bias training and everything. Big Brother is not going to fix implicit bias. It's just not going to. The only thing that's going to do that is time and society deciding that it's something that they want to fix. So we're probably going to continue to see these patterns on the TV shows for a long time. And that's just kind of the sad reality of it. But it's rough because like what's the play here for Bailey and Davon? It's like either you work together and hope that you can make it as far as you can, or you don't work together and still people are going to think that you're working together anyway because you're just too black. I feel like everybody is like tiptoeing around saying that because they don't want to come off as being racist. But I feel like the level of honesty that we should be getting with this implicit bias training should at least be a step in the right direction. But we're not there yet. And it's disheartening. And I know that there are other reasons as to why Bailey and Davon are up on the block. I get it. I'm not saying that that's the only reason. I'm just saying that it's part of the reason. And until we're able to talk about that fully, we're never going to get anywhere. So...
And you could feel that frustration from Bailey tonight. And I think that was what made it really hard to watch too, is just like, you can feel how hard it was for her and how sad that was to have to be the one that was being blamed for their conversation. And she's like, it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just from a game perspective, Taryn, I mean, does this really do anything for Christmas's game in terms of like what the chessboard looks like to potentially split up Bailey and Davon this week?
It does. I mean, it really solidifies her relationship with Nicole and Danny. Mm-hmm. It pleases basically the entire house. She is going to be in good with pretty much everybody moving forward from this week. She came into this week in a pretty good position. She's leaving it in a pretty good position. Even Bay and Day having been nominated by her, whichever one of them stays, they do not plan on going after her. So it's a pretty successful HOH, I think.
Okay. All right. We have a lot still to talk about here tonight. So unless there's something else from the episode that you all want to talk about, why don't we skip ahead and talk about spoilers here tonight? Okay. And if you're going to jump ahead to the spoiler section, buckle up because we got a lot to talk about. Okay. All right. So that being said, if you're going to leave us, we will be back on Wednesday night. But for everybody else that's sticking around, let's talk about the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Found it. Okay. All right. All right. Taryn, all right, why don't we go ahead and double spoiler music.
Breaking news are happening now.
All right. Sure, what will be a jam-packed Monday morning live feed update, Taryn? Give us the sneak preview on a newsy Sunday night.
So there's actually a few things to talk about here. I'm sure we'll talk about them all, but I'll give you a heads up on each of them. First of all, Christmas won the veto.
Mm-hmm.
She currently does not plan on using it. Tyler was ratted out by Davon and then Bailey. Davon and Bailey are now wanting to work with Danny and Nicole against Tyler, whichever one of them stays. Tyler's position has been outed in that regard. Tyler has been absent while all of this is happening. And then just as this podcast was starting, he approached Day and Bay in tears, telling them that because he found out that they blame him, and he told them, "Look, I was telling the truth. Even though you don't believe me, I was telling the truth about Danny.
My truth.
And I told this to David that I know you guys are here for a bigger purpose, and I want to respect that, and I want to tell Christmas to use the veto to put me on the block and send me home this week." So he offered that. They gladly accepted. And that is the current stance of Tyler. We haven't heard anything else here yet. And Rob, that's still not it, because there's yet another piece of news that we'll talk about.
Your Stockwatch portfolio has cratered. Is that it?
The entire market has crashed, I'll tell you that.
The crash, the great crash of 2020.
There was also another wall yeller.
Oh boy.
Just now, that outed the fact that David won a power, and that Tyler and Christmas have a final two, and that Memphis, Cody, Nicole, and Danny have a final four, which is not actually true. But
gosh.
Yes.
Boy, what was this, like the Gettysburg Address at the wall? They couldn't get them in the house before the guy is going to say nine things. And
goodness.
Then another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also. I mean,
look, I've been trying to tell people.
Julie Chen is changing her sign-offs every single week. Also.
This is what happens when we say that we love the wall yellers, right?
No.
It is unclear whether or not this person has actually been heard. Apparently, as soon as they started yelling, Cody and some others started yelling to try and block the noise.
Oh, wow.
So we have no idea if this was heard yet, but there's a whole bunch of stuff going on here.
Wow. Okay. So first off, I think that if they could, basically, remember on like Game of Thrones, like Jon Snow and everybody used to like be on the Night's Watch at the wall. They need to get like a bunch of like those sequester mods like up there to be like, there is no yelling at the wall. There is no yelling. Just like drown out if they see them coming from far enough away. Okay. All right. There's a lot going on here. Okay. Aman, I know that a lot of people don't know the big Tyler stan. Okay. I what's your reaction to this news?
So, okay. I'm going to be honest. I can only hear you, Rob. I cannot hear Kelsey, and I cannot hear Taryn. Okay. So I literally did not hear anything.
That's a bad draw. That's bad luck.
Said,
yes.
This is very bad luck.
Somebody is wall yelling at Aman.
I'm going to ask, can I respectfully drop from the podcast? Because I feel like at this point,
yes,
Aman, it's just not.
Okay. All right. If you are feeling good about your connection, please come back. Okay.
If I'll try one more time on my computer, but I really don't want to slow down the show anymore. So.
No, that's fine. Thank you for sticking with it long enough to say everything that you had to say tonight. I really appreciate it. Okay. Oh, we'll talk to you soon, Aman. Okay. All right.
Bye.
All right. Okay. All right. We got an unlucky break with Aman's internet tonight. All right. So, all right. Taryn, the question I guess is, will Christmas respect Tyler's wishes?
I have no idea. I mean, I still don't even know 100% that this is real from Tyler. I don't think he would like fully fake this.
Could
but
it be a
like,
ploy? And then and then say, Bailey, I don't want to be here anymore. And then Christmas is like, I can't let that man do it.
That's what I think.
I will say I am inclined to believe it is true. I have been talking about this, that I've noticed that Tyler's head has not seemed like it's been fully in the game for a while. We know that he rejected the offer to play All-Stars at first and had to be talked into it.
Yes.
And that he was having a rough time at first. He's been having a rough time lately. He even, the way that he played last week, he was kind of going for broke and trying to set himself up in a really good position. And it didn't really work out. It backfired.
Yes.
And I think part of that was a little bit self-destructive. Like, hey, I'm either going to win or I'm going to be bouncing out. And I think that he genuinely wants to make amends to Bailey and Dave Vaughn and step out for them. I think it's genuine. But I don't know where this goes. When he approaches Christmas about this, like, this really screws Christmas over in the game to a large degree. I can't imagine she'll be happy about it. I don't know why she would let him do this. I mean, Christmas is very much a team player, so maybe she would be down for it. But it also doesn't make sense for a lot of people in the game to vote Tyler out if he's on the block. So I have a hard time believing all these All-Stars will just be like, okay, we'll let you meta world peace out of this game. I have a feeling they're going to be like, no. If you're going to leave, quit and forfeit your 40K, dude, because we're not going to let this happen.
Do you
I don't
lose
know
the 40K
why
if you quit?
Oh, I would imagine. Yeah. You can't just quit the game and get paid 40K. Like, that's
showed
not
up,
how it works.
He was there.
Oh, but he didn't stick around.
Oh, boy.
And then really, we talked about this with Carol in Big Brother Canada 8. If you ask to be nominated and voted out, that should also forfeit your stipend as far as I'm concerned. So I still have no idea. He went into the HOH room to talk to Christmas about this, but there were other people in there and he ended up leaving. She's currently talking to Ian. I believe he is in the diary room and has been for a little while, I believe. So...
wow.
There is a world though where Tyler knows enough about where everybody's at and knows, yes, that to move forward and to win, he needs that whoever stays to be with him, and that he knows that Christmas is not really going to put him up. So if he goes to Christmas with Devon and Bailey and he says in front of them, Christmas, put me up, and then she doesn't, they know that he tried. And then maybe that'll garner enough connection between them to work with him again so that he can then move forward with them. Maybe this is like throwing it all out there.
Okay. Iman is back with us to try one more time. Okay.
The minute that I start crackling, or I'm just going to...
we'll let you know. We'll let you know. Okay. All right, Iman, what are your thoughts on all this?
What?
Yeah. People thought you froze again for a second. It was a long pause. Long pause.
I knew I was like, I need to hurry up before this happens again. What are you doing? What are you doing? Look, I think that it is amazing that he is trying to show a bit of his humanity here. There are a lot of people that think that this is a Tyler's funeral or something like that. I would seriously hope not. I would seriously hope that he's not trying to use the message of wanting to see two black women go further in the game as a way to advance himself.
That'd
that
be
would
dirty.
Be slimy. And I just don't see that I just don't see him doing that. But forfeiting the game when they were already placed on the block because of their target, their threat level, that's not going to go anywhere if you leave the game. You quitting and then serving them up on a platter again, saying like, oh my goodness, see, this bond was so unbreakable that it sent Tyler out the door.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You're reinforcing that they're already going to be... It doesn't make any sense, Tyler. Like, if what you're saying is true, Tyler, and you just want to go balls to the wall, you want to help Bailey and Devon get through, then convince Christmas to backdoor somebody, and then let's just get this stuff cracking. Give us the season that we want. Because if you're at this point and you're at this emotional level where you're like, you know what, I just want to see you guys succeed, then help them succeed. Quitting is not, that's not how we do things. Either draw the line in the sand right now and backdoor Danny, and we can get this thing going, or just shut up.
Sorry, this season isn't that fun for you, Tyler, but why don't you stick around and try to help your friends win?
Exactly. And on top of that, if this doesn't go out the way that he wants it to, like if he gets talked out of it, then you're going to look like the asshole that just gave Bailey hope before she gets thrown out of the door anyway. So this doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Or even worse, whatsoever. If he then says, I couldn't convince Christmas. All right, I guess I have to stay. And then goes on to play the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm with Amon on this. For a long time, people have told me that I'm in love with Tyler, and that everything he does, I can't criticize him. I'm very pleased to announce that this is dumb.
Isn't it true though that you would have the most to lose if Tyler left the house in terms of your stock watch portfolio?
Well, spoilers, I'm pretty happy right now.
What? About Tyler. You sold all your Tyler stock?
Sold it all.
What? It is insider trading. Taryn's the wall yeller.
Getting to the bottom of it.
Well, okay, all right. That's another podcast. All right, we'll tune in on Tuesday to find out exactly what happened there. Kelsey, that it's also known that Tyler, in support of Angela, who is a known vegan, gave up eating meat in solidarity for Angela. Do you think that if Tyler was to eat a hamburger right now, do you think that he would regain his lust for the game?
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe he just needs to find some burgers. And then he can get back in the game.
Like a Popeye situation.
A Popeye situation. Or honestly, maybe it's just a protein issue. Get some Uncrustables.
Yeah, maybe.
He just needs some peanut butter. Get back in this. Get your head back in the game. No, I don't know. I'm waiting to see what is actually going on. Because I don't know. I want to believe that Tyler knows what he's doing.
Okay.
So I stopped watching the feeds when we started. So this conversation between Tyler and Christmas has not happened yet, right?
No, it hasn't.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know why I'm shaking my head. I was just listening to what Taryn said. I'm like, no, Taryn didn't say that happened. So nope.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I feel like this is what, like, Tyler has not loved being there this whole time. I really feel like I think he felt like he saw a way to get out of this game and do so in like a way where he's respected or gets to make amends in some way
and get out before the jury, the Julie
exactly.
McGee. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he is thinking of it in a sort of like genuinely, this is the best way to help Bay and Day. I think he's thinking of it as I gotta get out of here. Way.
Wow. Taryn, the Legacy Watch this Saturday is going to be lit.
And it's like, look, I get it. Like, because I see people in the chat saying, like, well, if he wants to leave, then maybe he should just, like, if he's not enjoying himself, then just go. That's, you know, like, if he's really at that point mentally where it's like, he's like, I can't do this anymore.
Hold on, Amon. What about the rest of us who aren't enjoying ourselves? Where do we don't get to quit.
Exactly.
We don't get turn the season off.
I feel like, I mean, you're like, you still have a lot of game left in you to play, Tyler. You really do. And the fact that Bailey and Davon are on the block, like, yes, it sucks. And yes, like the information that you gave them is kind of part of the reason why they're up there in the first place. So you're like, you have like some really weird guilt with that right now. But like, if you want to help them, then help them. Just help them. Do not quit. Don't quit.
Wow.
That's all I have to say about it.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. And because again, like I 100%, if his mental health is deteriorating and he's struggling in that house, I am all for I can empathize with you and I can understand that you need to be out of that house 100%.
Right.
But
right.
He is not saying I can't be here. I'm going to leave. He's trying to get something from it. Like, this is not just a, can't be here. I have to leave. I'm going to forfeit my money. Whatever kind of thing. But it is, you know.
Taryn, just realized we could have a Tyler interview finally this week.
I doubt it.
Oh, you don't think he would do the exit press?
No, I don't think he will, to be honest.
Oh, boy.
I mean, if he quits, I don't see why he would want to.
If he gets voted out on Thursday, I think that he would do the exit press.
Yeah. don't know. I think
I just never thought in a million years.
He would request, please no.
Please no exit press?
Yeah, I think he would request it. I don't know if they'd grant it.
I don't know. Like,
40K.
If he leaves, maybe they can just replace him with the wall yeller since he's participating in the season anyway.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I don't know if CBS will want him to do exit press because he's just going to talk about how it hurt his mind to be in that house, you know?
They don't care. I don't think it's fine.
Just I know that I said that I wanted Tyler and Devon to work together in this game. This is not what I meant.
This isn't it.
Boy, what a weird weekend. Who knows?
Yeah.
What if Tyler goes up on the block and then David takes him down?
My energy is just so off right now. Like, that would just be so... why?
David is like, no, my friend, I can't let you go.
And he gets replaced with David.
Yeah.
What if Christmas gets, you know, beaten down and she finally agrees, okay, fine, Tyler, I'll put you up as the replacement. And then she goes to do it and up on the screen, it goes, oh, blocker twist. Tyler, you've been blocked from being a replacement nominee. Sorry, Tyler. I'm not the only one with the blocker, I guess. I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Boy. Kelsey, what do you make of all this?
It's like too much is happening. There was like nothing. And then now all of a sudden, right now, it's like, oh my goodness, what's even going on? Mm. I don't know. I don't want to think that Tyler is messing things up. Mm-hmm. That makes me sad.
Yeah, this would have severe ramifications for the season, for sure. I mean, obviously it saves Bailey and Devon for another week, but what it really does is solidify Nicole and Danny with Cody. Yep. and Enzo. They don't need Bay and Day anymore. They're all just going to coach straight after Bay and Day again. And without any real opposition left for Cody and Enzo, I fully expect that foursome to really stomp down the rest of the game.
I just feel like he's really feeling really guilty about because at this point the temperature of the house is that Bailey will be the one to go, right? So like I feel like he's getting in his head and he's thinking, damn, I really have to sit here and cast a vote against Bailey after I thought this was the season that we were going to reconvene, repair our relationship and come out of this with a much, you know, deeper understanding for one another. And now that that's not going to be the case, I feel like now he's like in his feelings about it. And it's like, well, bro, you were throwing their names out to people last week. You're part of this problem right now. You know what I mean? So it's like, you can't have it both ways. You're either going to go all in and be happy with what's going on, or, you know what I mean? So I'm just, it's just very strange to me, but okay.
Yeah. I thought he was the bandit, Taryn. I thought he doesn't even care.
That was the thing. He didn't care to be there. Mm-hmm. He is the real life Dr. Will. Real life Dr. Will? The Dr. Will that actually didn't want to be there and is actually leaving. Like, maybe this is what Dr. Will would have done if something didn't go his way in All Stars, the original. Who knows? But this is, again, I don't know. I don't know where this is going.
Yeah. Boy,
and now that they might know that David has this power, if they do,
they won't believe that.
But what they will do is nominate him just to flush it. Because why not?
Wait, I missed that. Did they know that David has the power now?
Yeah,
another wall yeller. Yeah,
reveal David's power. I know, ruining stuff. Goodness.
When did this happen? Just during the podcast.
Taryn, did they say what his power is, or did they just say he has a power?
Taryn, did somebody go yell at the wall when Amon was missing from the podcast?
Oh, Amon. What do you have against David? I don't think they know what it is, and we don't know for sure that they actually heard anything.
Yeah.
But they did try. But if they know that David has a power, I mean, they're smart. They're gonna just be like, "Sorry, David, we know you have a power, so we're just gonna nominate you. So you can go ahead and use it if you got it."
Amon, and while he was yelling, or she, whoever the wall yeller was, Cody tried to drown him out by talking, Taryn said, which is my favorite move that Cody's made the whole time. Mm-hmm. I love that he tried to drown out the wall yeller.
There is a house limit. There is a house limit. There is no wall yelling.
He just started yelling as soon as they heard a wall yelling.
I'm so dumb because y'all were talking about wall yellers and Tyler quitting. And I was like, why is the wall yeller back in this thing again? And now...
yeah it's a crazy night, man.
Yeah,
okay, why would they choose to say that? I don't understand, right? Like,
because
why?
When you encourage wall yellers, you can't control what they say.
There were so many other people to say had, like, you don't have to tell the truth, you could say somebody else had a power.
Yes, Amon is still stunned.
You know what? You know, let go and let God. I'm just going to sit here and let Taryn do all of the heavy lifting like he usually does, and we'll find out about it tomorrow. It's crazy.
Let's just talk this through, because there's a lot of dominoes that's still at the... okay, so Tyler is still going to tell... He's going to tell Christmas that he wants to go home, put him up on the block so he can get voted out. All right, Taryn, will Christmas accept this request?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think that... Honestly, I think that if this was anybody else... like Cody or Enzo or any of his other allies, it would just be an automatic no. Like, no way. Christmas might actually reluctantly be like, okay, if I have to.
She got a lot of blood on her hands on a week where Tyler is going to go home.
It would be terrible. I mean, like I said, it would be terrible for her game.
Bloody Christmas.
Yeah, but if he's like crying to her and he's like, please, Christmas is actually, I think, the one person that might actually be like, oh, okay. Remember, this is the woman who told Josh and Paul that it was okay to take each other in the final three.
Yeah.
And after the fact was like, God, I was so hurt when it happened.
Yes.
So.
Okay. And then second.
Not a good track record for herself playing the game, yes. Moving herself forward.
But she is good at track competitions. So that's a good thing for her.
One-legged track competition.
But then will the house vote him out?
That's the thing. I mean,
he has
certainly
to self-evict. All these things are not going to happen.
I mean, it's tough. I think Danny and Nicole would. I think that David and Kevin would, and that's four. So
you really think that Danny and Nicole would?
They want him out. He came for them. You know.
I guess so. I guess so. I'm sorry that I'm going off of old information.
Yeah. So
would Cody not try to convince them, though?
Well, he absolutely would, but he doesn't have as much of a leg to stand on if Tyler's literally asking to be out. And I assume that Tyler will, if he really wants to go, will say things like, if you don't vote me out, I'm going to try to win HOH next week and I'm going to come for you. So, you know, he might be able to put them in a spot where they have to, but like, that is just terrible television, as we witnessed in Big Brother Canada 8. Was Tyler watching Big Brother Canada 8? Does he understand that Carol is like the most hated person?
Not sure. He watches Love Island.
Yeah.
Okay.
The strategy of this game will go down immensely if Tyler walks out of that door. Like, he's been involved in like so much during this season. Like, without him there, that's like such a big void that will be open, and it's just I don't even know, like, who, you know, who takes that perch next, like Cody, like it's so strange to me.
Okay, Taryn, could you just give us the update on Ian from this weekend also, and where does he stand in all this?
Honestly, I don't know. We have barely heard from him at all, on the feeds, and we saw nothing of him in the episodes. We know that he had a panic attack, that he had to be like, he had to stay in bed. He was not able to compete in the veto. He also wants to leave. If Tyler does this, who knows? Maybe Ian is like, oh, hey. Can I get in on this? I don't know.
Boy, Kelsey, one thing is for sure. Nicole Franzl's not going to walk out that door.
I mean, at this point, who knows? There's a lot going on.
You think she could miss Victor so much and she could want to go out before the jury starts?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Their relationship. She just really misses him and talking about her wedding. And no, you're right. She's not going anywhere. I'm so confused as to how the rest of this week is going to play out. I have no idea how people are going to react to this information.
Yeah.
Who's going to be behind it? Who's going to be the one to try to convince him not to?
Okay. All right. Look, we thought that this week was going to be an open and shut case, but it's going to be an interesting ride. Oh boy.
I'm just disappointed. Mm-hmm. I am.
No more wall yellers, please.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Are any of these questions still relevant to with all this new information? Let's see. Is Danny's power really that useful? No. That's from Crystal Lunsford.
This is such a bad power that it mostly helps majority alliances. And the best case scenario from this power is that we get two of the same HOH twice in a row.
Yeah.
Which is something that we very rarely want to see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But maybe Devon gets a HOH and then Danny is working with her and gives her the power to get two Devon HOHs in a row.
Never going to happen.
Okay. How about this for a new power? It's called the megaphone. You go into the DR and then while you're in your diary room, they bring you out back, give you the megaphone. You're the wall yeller. Okay. You get to yell whatever you want over the wall. And then you come back and you come out of the diary room like, oh my God, there's a wall yeller. They said Kevin is running this whole thing.
This is a twist in Audrey's game and in Sequester rumors round. Yeah. Although they don't pretend that it's from the audience though. So
oh, okay.
I mean, that would be a very, very, that would be a very meta thing to do, and I'm not entirely.
I could see it on Big Brother Canada before I'd see it on Big Brother US.
Probably like send them to like a secret room and they can, you know what, Rob?
Mm-hmm.
Innovation.
Yes. Yes.
Innovation.
Like, all right, here's the things that Canada is saying about the house. Like, just the house gets made them all. Okay. All right. Let's take a question from Riley. Why didn't the episode show Tyler telling Christmas to put up Bay and Day up? He totally threw them under the bus. Taryn, if Tyler knew about his edit, do you think he would still want to leave?
I don't know
how good it was.
Maybe. Like I said, though, I wish they had shown this conversation. Like I said, it's he did float he floated both ideas. And she was very clearly leaning toward Bay and Day, and he supported that decision, and he gave reasonings as to why he agreed with it. And that was completely contradictory to everything he had been saying up until that point. It was very confusing. I was waiting for a diary room.
Okay. Faison, are we in the midst of Tyler's funeral leading to a Danny backdoor?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, Kelsey, give us how we get to a Danny backdoor.
No, okay, I didn't say the Danny part. I was just saying that this is all Tyler thinking beyond everybody else. But I don't really know how it could lead to a Danny backdoor. What are the steps that it would take to get there?
I think then David has to use
Christmas,
his power.
Put her up there. Just tell him, just put her up there. Just say, like, look... I guess he can't use the slick six because she's not in there. But you could say the reason that everything is getting so weird in the house now is because Danny was the one that was trying to come after these two, and they had no intention of ever coming after her, and now she might be coming after me, which means she's going to be coming after you because you're with me. Like, Tyler can do it. Like, he knows what he could do it. He could do it.
Okay.
He could do it.
That could work.
All right.
Yeah.
Then. Can I owe money in the stock watch? Like, go negative? LMI. I bought a lot of Tyler's stock last week. Okay. Yeah. All right. If this is Tyler's funeral, what if he goes into that room with Christmas and Christmas is like, all right, what could I do to get you to stay?
I mean, what she could say is, what if we just backdoor Danny to protect?
Yeah. Like, is there anything I could do to talk you out of it? Don't leave me, Tyler.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he is talking to her as we speak. He is broaching the subject right now. So,
what an emotional night for Amon. So many highs and lows.
I have like, it's Sunday night. Like, Big Brother's not supposed to make you feel like this on Sunday. This is supposed to be reserved for Thursdays. Okay. Like, what the heck is going on?
Okay. All right. Kelsey, anything else to say about this night of Big Brother?
Oh, man. No. There's so much more I want to know.
So much more.
Yes. I did love Enzo tonight, though. Did y'all, whenever they were talking about going to the basement, and he was like, I used to live in a basement.
Yeah, he used to live in his basement, but now his aunt lives in the basement, right?
I think so, right?
A 3-floor house. My aunt is in a basement. She's my back.
Yeah. So now he moved on up to the penthouse. Okay. All right.
He's such an interesting person to me.
He's an interesting character. And imagine how much airtime he'll get if Tyler is gone. Okay. All right. Mm. Let's talk about what else is going on robhasawebsite.com. Hey, Love Island. It's on 7 nights a week. Tyler watches it. Tyler might be able to catch the rest of the season if he plays his cards right. Check out what Kirsten McInnes, Brian Scally, and co-host of New Girl, Old Guy, Ali Lasher, is going to be on the Love Island wrap-up from this week. Check that out up on robhasawebsite.com. Then it was the great debate between myself and Akiva Winokur. AJ Norris put the great debate together with special guest judges, LaTanya Starks from the post-show recaps, and then also our own Melissa Denny joined us. She's a regular on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast for the great debate. A lot of fun there. And if you're a Melissa fan, you'll want to check that out as well. Of course, then we have over here, the Mole Patrol with Josh, Jessica Lise, and Brooklyn Zed getting close to the end of their rewatch of season one of The Mole up on Reality TV Rehap Ups. I got to talk with Ian Rosenberger. People were so excited to hear from Ian from Survivor Palau. He's been on a very interesting adventure since his time that ended with the series. Became friends with Ethan Zahn. Went to Haiti in 2010 following the earthquake there. And it really changed the direction of the rest of his life. You'll want to hear what he's been up to on our latest Talking with T-Bird, Ian Rosenberger. And then what's this? Oh, find out why Kacer lost with Karishma Patel. Joined David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis. A great get there for why Kacer lost over on our Reality TV Rehap Ups. And then over on the B&B, Phil Thompson joined Mike and Liana, and a special guest star popped in to talk about the film works of Cody Calafiore. Find out what Cody's been up to when he's not playing in the Big Brother house on the B&B this week. And then the roundtable legacy watch edition from last night. It was Frail Mary, Serena Foster, and Geneva with Taryn talking about the Legacy Watch from last night. And just, of course, you want to vote for this week, but Legacy Watch could see a lot of turnover between last night and Saturday, Taryn.
Yes, I'm looking forward to next week's. We talked a lot about, I think, some of the reason that Tyler is citing. I mean, he's just talking to Christmas. He said, I feel like there's a reason Day and Bay were the two nominees this week, and then the feeds cut. So that appears to be part of his reasoning. We went into that a little bit last night on the Legacy Watch. And we also, may have seen the last of Tyler in a high position on the Legacy Watch. So check that one out.
I was going to say that he might not be on the feeds when they come back.
And, they did come back and they are not on the feeds right now.
Okay, non-zero chance. Okay. All right. AJ Norris. What a weekend for AJ. Goes from Renap, the great debate. We'll be with Taryn on Monday morning. What a great way to start your week with some AJ Norris. It'll be a very fun live feed update. And also a very busy one on Labor Day.
A lot to talk about.
Yes. So. Yeah, everybody's like, good. Good thing I'm off from work tomorrow so I can catch the live feed update uninterrupted. And then on Tuesday night, Melissa is back for the LFC Roundtable Stock Watch Edition. Boy, a lot of volatility in the market. These C's are choppy. Okay. Hold on to your butt cheeks with your portfolio on the LFC.
Chaos
stock
is
watch.
A ladder, Rob. Chaos is a ladder.
Chaos is a ladder. Big market turmoil going on right now. Of course, all this podcasting that you've heard about and much more is made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Find out about everything that we're doing on our patron podcast feed, all of our patron shows, patron Facebook, Discord, and more. And on Thursday nights, we're coming on 1 hour early for a special patron pregame show. Join us. It is going to be my wife's birthday, but I will be taking your calls because I put this podcast ahead of my marriage at times. And it gets me in hot water, but sometimes, look, this is my calling in life, all right? I have to do it. Kelsey, you're shaking your head. No, it's a bad move.
Oh, no.
Cancel the pregame show?
As a wife, I would not appreciate it.
Look. It's only a big birthday, okay? There'll be another one in 10 years, Kelsey. All right.
Okay, well then in that case, yeah.
Follow us on social media. We're sharing more and more clips of the shows there as well. Get in on everything that we're talking about. Rob is a podcast on Twitter, RHAP Grams on Instagram, and our Facebook page at Rob Has a Podcast. All right. Okay. First Lady of Podcasting is a very understanding lady, okay? She understands because it's Big Brother season. All right. Kelsey, tell me, where can people keep up with everything that you're talking about?
I am at Twitter at KRasmondi.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
What kind of stuff do you normally tweet about?
You know, Big Brother, Survivor, sometimes something funny one of my kids say.
Okay.
You know, all the hits.
Why you put her on the spot like that?
Man, you know, of all the things that I prepared for and wrote down, I really should have written down some quotes from my kids.
I'll go check it out on Twitter, so I'll get some good.
Oh, no. Okay. I need to get those ready.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. My son said something very appropriate in his Zoom school the other day that I can't even repeat on a podcast. So
those are the best ones.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Aman, we figured it out. Your internet came back around. Maybe, just maybe, that this is a metaphor for the season of it was looking bad, it was choppy, but somehow in the end, it pulled through.
We made it through, man. We made it through. I'm so happy. So sorry that happened. Hopefully, it does not happen again. I need to get that fixed. But you can find me at Aman Adwin on Twitter, where I cannot buffer on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So... that's it for me. Oh, and check out the choir room with me and Matt. We are in Glee season 5 right now. It's lots of fun.
Okay, wow. Season 5. I feel like that you guys just recently started.
We record every day, Rob.
Every day.
Every day. Well, you know, a few days here and there that we skip, but like for the most part, yep, every day. Okay. Every day.
All right. Another man who records every day, Taryn Armstrong. Boy, Taryn, is this going to be an all-nighter for you?
It may be. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I will. I'll go live after.
Yeah, they want you to go live.
To watch this as it goes down, because I'm sure we're going to be a lot to talk about over the course of the night.
Taryn, I got to prep for this Tyler exit interview. I'm going to spend all week working on crafting the right questions.
Yeah. Were you worried about being too boring? Is this
No. He wanted to be a question. Look, this was not boring. Was not boring.
I don't know. Asking to be voted out, I think, is the ultimate in boring.
We didn't see it coming.
I guess so. I mean, it's surprising now, but when the rest of the week plays out, I think we're going to be.
Yeah. By the way, also tomorrow, that normally on Mondays I do the slop, but you guys have a slop pass this week on the live edition. But I will be chatting with Matt Hoffman. So join us for a special edition of The Slop. I'll be checking in with The Hoff on this week's edition of The Slop. So look for that on Monday evening. So thank you so much, Scott St. Pierre, behind the scenes, all of the people bearing with us with the live feeds, our start and stops to get the show going in the first place tonight. It was well worth it. Thanks so much. Have a happy Labor Day, everybody. And that's not a Christmas joke. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.